May we give attention to the Word of God? Okay, Philippians 2:1-8 says, therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, any comfort from his love, any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being in one spirit and of one mind. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of the others. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who, being in the very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant and being made in a human likeness. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. In Ephesians 1:2 and verse 21, follow God's example, therefore, as dearly loved children. Walk in the way of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. Verse 21, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. I pray that this word will be written on your heart, and we just thank you, Father, that the message that Crystal is about to give, Lord, would be right from the Spirit of God, and, Lord, that we would take something from this message that would make us closer to Jesus. Amen.
Good morning. For you visitors, I am Crystal Bradley. I'm the associate pastor here at Haines Presbyterian Church, and I welcome you too. Not just you folks from Pennsylvania, but I met a few amongst the congregation as well. We're glad you're here. I often say that I could be a really great Christian if it weren't for the people. No, really, love God, worship him, sing songs, listen to praise music, read the Bible and pray. These are the things I love to do. And for the most part are pretty easy. But God calls us to a community, to a family, a kingdom. We are not alone in our life of faith and worship. And it's a good thing, really, because we cannot accomplish all that God wants human beings to do by ourselves. The world is so big, so diverse, so complicated, and each human being so limited. We're limited geographically, intellectually, our lifespan limits us. It's ludicrous to think that any one individual could achieve God's purposes for the world. We need each other's knowledge, strength, different personalities, abilities, to make disciples of all nations. So the other people are good. But people also complicate things for us, right? They do things their way, I do them mine. Different perspectives, methods, attitudes. Add to that different cultures, family background, values. There's a lot that can go wrong when you're working with people. It's challenging. But still, God calls us to cooperate. No, God calls us to prefer the other, to put their needs ahead of our own, even to submit to one another. Uh-oh. Well, for our visitors today, Dana and I are in the middle of a sermon series on spiritual disciplines, and today's spiritual discipline is submission. When we were planning the preaching schedule, instead of picking dates, Dana said, well, pick your spiritual discipline. And I looked and I said, submission? What does that mean as a spiritual discipline? Sure, I'll take that. Well, it turns out it's exactly like it sounds. We discipline ourselves to submit to one another as a way of letting Jesus be formed in us. That is, we give in to one another, We set aside our preferences in favor of someone else's. We let them have their way at the expense of having our own way. We give up our rights. Well, that doesn't sound like much fun. Actually, submission may be the most unpalatable of all the spiritual disciplines we'll practice, at least until we grow up and realize that God's way actually is the good and joyful way. Today we're going to apply the gospel to this and see if we can't find some willingness, even joy, and power in the act of submission. But our resistance to submission is a problem that goes back to ancient times. Ever since the serpent tempted Adam and Eve to sin in the garden, human beings haven't wanted to submit our will to God or others. Before the fall, the two were happy to live according to God's instruction. But ever since, we have been striving to control our own lives, our own destinies. This was Satan's lure, that the man and woman could be like God, knowing good from evil. They would be able to make their own decisions based on knowledge rather than simply trusting God's word and that what he said was true and good. It basically eliminated the necessity of God, since they could be just like him. Of course, it was a lie. Sure, they now realized some things, like they were naked and they knew enough to be scared and hide from God. But human choices based on limited knowledge, power, and the capacity for good will generally oppose God's ways, leading down a path of selfishness, hatred, and violence. That is what the first few chapters of Genesis are all about. Human beings spiraling down in a pattern of anger and murder. And even when the people did work together at the Tower of Babel, it was to usurp God's position. And eventually God could not let it continue on, and he destroyed the earth and almost all the people by a flood. If Adam and Eve had only trusted that God is always right and good, and submitted to his will, well, we don't know what would happen. But anyway, my point is that the difficulty of submission is nothing new. It is an age-old problem. God gave the command, but he didn't force his way on people. He gave them the choice to obey or not. And we are living with the result of that choice. There are other reasons submission is unpleasant to us. When we give in to others, we feel powerless. We may be taken advantage of, and eventually we'll feel like a doormat that everybody wipes their muddy boots on. Nobody wants to feel like that. Maybe we're afraid if we willingly give up our rights, we'll be seen as weak or spineless, making us a target for others to bully. What kind of existence is that? Maybe we also think that by giving up our rights in preference of another, we will lose ourselves, lose our identity as an individual. We'll be swallowed up by everyone else around us with no one caring for us or our well-being, let alone our desires. And of course, as children, we don't need to be taught to fight for what we want. It comes pretty naturally to look out for our own interests, grabbing at toys, crying for things in the grocery store, seeking attention by being funny, smart, or belligerent. We are also trained by society and the media to do whatever we can to get our own way. If we believe all the messages that are coming at us, there is no one more important than me. And there's no reason at all that I should settle for less than what I want. The problem with all of this is that it makes us not very nice people. Insisting on our own way only makes us manipulative of others and angry when we don't get it, which of course in life is pretty often. There is a certain tyranny to having to get our own way, enslaving us to discontent, bitterness, and resentment. When you really get down to it, though, if you ask, why do I have such a resistance to submission? I think, just like Adam and Eve, I don't trust God. That is the root of it. There is a favorite Bible verse from Proverbs that says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways submit to Him, and He will make your paths straight." Trusting God and submitting to Him go together. When we trust that He has our best interest at heart, that He knows better than we do what's right and good, submitting is easy. That it doesn't come easily betrays our distrust. But when people do trust God and submit to His ways, remarkable things happen. In the case of Paul, who submitted this is the Apostle Paul from Acts and all the letters that were written in the, well, not all, but most of the letters written in the New Testament. He submitted his whole life to God's plan for him. He could sing praises in jail, witnessing to other prisoners. He could be content in every and any circumstance, whether hungry or well-fed, imprisoned or free, warm and dry, or shipwrecked on some unknown island. In submitting to God, he found his identity, a beloved servant of Christ, and his purpose, to preach Christ wherever he went. He submitted to others, too, not caring for his own preferences, freedoms, or comforts, but always trying to win others to Christ. Another example is in the Old Testament. There was a wise woman named Abigail. Her husband was wicked and refused to pay David and his men for work that they'd done for him, and they were ready to destroy him for it. Abigail submitted to David's terms, even coming to him with a humble and deferential attitude, and saved her husband and all her household. In the end, her husband died anyway, but Abigail was given a position of honor. And of course, the most important person who modeled submission is Jesus. Jesus, who is already equal with God, humbled himself, took on the flesh of a human being, identifying with the sinful race that deserved no such grace from God. And the foundation of his teaching on submission is that we deny ourselves. If anyone would be great, they must become the servant of all. While Jesus lived, he lived for others, always having compassion on the harassed crowds, teaching the disciples, and even some who would not believe in him, feeding hungry people, blessing little children. Even when Jesus tended to his own needs, especially for spiritual refreshment and connection with his Father, he did it during the hours when others would be asleep. Even when he needed his own sleep or food, he gave them up in favor of the people who needed his ministry. For God to leave his heavenly place and become incarnate is already a huge act of humility. But in the end, he humbled himself even more, giving his own life up for our sake. He willingly went to the cross in order to purchase for God people who had gone far astray. Jesus loves me. This I know. These are not the actions of a weak person, a doormat. Jesus had power, both in life and in going to his death. He said, "No one takes my life from me, but I lay it down of my own accord." I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. This command I receive from my Father. Jesus had none of the usual human distrust of God. He completely turned himself over to his Father, knowing that God would be faithful no matter how it looked to anyone else. He absolutely believed the words, "The Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing." There was nothing in this world that Jesus wanted for. And it wasn't because he had everything. It was because whatever he did have was from God, and it was enough. We all can have this same attitude. Jesus is our example. His life of submission is the basis and motivation for our submission. Spiritual disciplines are a means to bring us closer to Jesus, to form us on the inside to his likeness, and move us toward freedom from sin. In the case of submitting our will to another's, we become free from the tyranny of always having to have our own way. Are you tired of being mad all the time, or of holding on to grudges? Have you had enough of trying to manipulate people to give you what you want? The answer is not complicated. Neither is it easy to accomplish. It is to deny yourself and practice submission. Let others have their way. Give up your rights in order for someone else to have theirs. It's more than just doing what you're told. It's an inner attitude of contentment while you're not getting your own way. You've probably heard about the mother and her daughter where the mother told the little girl to sit down. And she refused, and the mother got exasperated and told her again a little bit louder to sit down. Still she did not, and now the mother was really angry and yelled at the girl, sit down or else. And the daughter grumpily sat down in the chair and she said, I'm sitting on the outside, but on the inside I'm standing up. If that's your attitude as you give in to someone else, it's not really biblical submission. Nor is it helpful if you submit with self-pity or in a martyrish way. That could not bring us closer to Jesus. Remember from the Philippians passage, we are to have the same attitude that Christ Jesus had. And from Ephesians, Christ gave himself up for us as an expression of his love for us. That is what we're striving for when we practice submission, more love. This is the call on every Christian's life, and the call is to mutual submission. I say this because a lot of times we think certain groups of people have to submit to another's authority, but the scriptures tell us that everyone who follows Christ is to live this way. Based on our love for and imitation of Jesus, not based on social status or one person's authority over another. Of all the spiritual disciplines, perhaps this one has the most potential to be abused. One way to avoid abusing it is to apply it only to yourself, not demanding that others submit to you, but with humility, finding ways that you can submit to others. You're probably familiar with the household codes in Ephesians 5 and Colossians 3 and 4, where Paul talks about husbands and wives, parents and children, and slaves and masters. Paul addresses all of these, giving each of them agency in their own lives and decisions, and asserting that they should submit to the others. He upends the social norms by insisting that husbands, parents, and masters submit to their counterparts, stripping away their authority, something that no other household code of the time period would do. Each one is to treat the other kindly, with respect and love. And again, the motivation is their unity with Christ, with reverence for Christ. We live a life of submission because Jesus lived a life of submission, not because we are in a particular place or station of life. Also, although we are called to look out for others' interests before our own, there are some limits to it, according to what God is telling us. Peter and John told the authorities who told them to stop speaking about Jesus, we have to obey God, not men. According to Richard Foster in his book Celebration of Discipline, which is where we get our series from, we are to submit up to the point at which it becomes destructive. Sometimes this is fairly simple to figure out. For example, if you're told by your boss to do something illegal, The Christian refuses, but in a humble way, even submitting to the consequences of refusing. Other times the limits of submission are more gray, and you'll need God's help to discern the right course. Practically speaking, Richard Foster says the way we submit to others is in service, which is its own spiritual discipline for another day's sermon. But he mentions 7 acts of submission that we can practice. The first is submission to the triune God, and he says we yield body, mind, and spirit for his purposes. This, of course, is first and foremost before any other submission. In all your ways, submit to him. Second, we submit to the scriptures. That is the point of meditation, memorization, and study, after all. We don't just do these things to build up knowledge, but so that we'll know what to do in particular circumstances. Third is to submit to our family. Every family member humbles themselves in order to serve the others. Listening to each other, seeing and knowing each other are all important to being able to do this. It takes time and concerted effort, especially with the other demands of work, church, and other activities, to give yourself to your family. The fourth act is to our neighbors. Basically, we help those we see in need. We practice kindness and hospitality. The fifth act of submission is to the believing community. Of course, God calls us to acts of service to our sisters and brothers, doing things around the church as the need arises, as well as for individuals in the congregation who are in need. There are lots of opportunities, since we have lots of tasks, large and small, that need done regularly to keep the church going. But we are also called to submit to our pastors, elders, and deacons as they make decisions under the guidance of the Holy Spirit. We can practice submitting to one another in committee meetings, as well as in serving a meal. The way we treat one another here is important and communicates a message to the community around us. Sixth is to the broken and despised, what the Bible calls widows and orphans. We are called to defend the helpless, seeing them, being with them, and helping them. And seventh is to the world. The world is big, but we are all connected, all living on one planet Earth. What we do affects others, so we live thoughtfully and carefully so that others aren't paying the price for what we do or the things that we use. Well, that's a lot. And maybe this week you could just choose one or two of these acts to talk to God about. Ask him, how can I practice submission this week? If you ask, he will show you one or two areas where he wants you to deny yourself in order to know Christ better and be formed by him. And this is the secret. Not that you work really hard to do it yourself, but that you look to Jesus, the one who gave himself up to become a human being and then humbled himself on the cross. In that act, he showed us how much he loves us. And he made us children of God, utterly beloved. Follow God's example, therefore, as dearly loved children, and walk in the way of love, just as Christ loved us. Amen.